Washington, D.C., April 6, 1953. Train number 173, the Federal Express, hurtled through the night at nearly 70 miles an hour. Tucked away in the swaying Pullman sleeping car was the youngest member of the Kennedy clan, Edward Moore Kennedy. Eddie to his sisters, Teddy to his brothers, Ted to the rest of the world. He was an exceptionally handsome young man, just turned 21, with a mane of glistening hair, the trademark Kennedy teeth, and the build of an athlete. At 6'2" and 200 pounds, he barely fit into the narrow Pullman bed, and at each bend and curve along the way, he had to hold on to the bed railing to prevent himself from falling out of his berth. The Federal Express chased the ghostly beam of its headlamps through Boston, Providence, New Haven, New York, Philadelphia, Wilmington, and Baltimore. After the Baltimore yards, the engineer notched the controller up to 80 miles an hour for the run into Washington, D.C. When the train reached signal number 1339, about 2 miles from Union Station, Ted finally found the sleep that had eluded him for the past several hours. He was groggy as he stepped off the train onto track 16 a few minutes before 7 a.m. He grabbed his suitcase and made his way down the deserted sidewalks of Delaware Avenue to the Senate office building. He was something of an architecture buff, and the simple majesty of the building impressed him. Inside, twin marble staircases led from the rotunda to an entablature and coffered dome. The great space was empty, except for a lone guard asleep behind the security desk. Ted didn't disturb him as he set out in search of room 362, his brother Jack's new office. "I can remember the first time I ever visited there," he recalled many years later. "It was back in 1953, and I was a schoolboy. My brother John had just been elected to the Senate. I'd come down to visit him on the night train. Getting in early, I arrived at his office at about 7:30 in the morning. No one was there. So I sat down on my suitcase out in the hall. Next door was the office of the vice president, and just then Nixon came along," Ted continued. "In his constitutional duty as presiding officer of the Senate, where he has the power to cast a tie-breaking vote, the vice president keeps an office in a Senate office building. He introduced himself and invited me into his office. It was the first time I'd ever met him. We had a pleasant talk, sparring about who got in first in the morning and that sort of thing." Jack Kennedy showed up a little before 9 o'clock. The Kennedy brothers had not seen much of each other in quite some time. Jack had been busy running for the Senate, his launching pad for the White House, while Ted had been getting himself into trouble. At the end of his freshman year at Harvard, he was suspended for hiring a student to take his final Spanish exam. When his father found out about it, he went ballistic. Ted knew how to blarney his father. He explained that in order to play football at Harvard, you had to demonstrate a proficiency in a foreign language, and knowing how important it was to his father that he make the team, he had cheated on the test. "From then on, my father was calm," Ted said. "It was just, 'How can we help you?' And he never brought up the subject again." Harvard's longtime president, James Bryant Conant, made it clear that Ted could seek readmission after an appropriate time had elapsed, and Joseph Kennedy immediately began a campaign to get his son back in the college's good graces. But war had broken out in Korea, and Ted saw a chance to atone for his disgrace by enlisting in the army. Thanks to his father's influence, Ted served his 2-year stint far from the front lines as a private first class in the military police in Europe. He was in France when he heard the news that Jack had won a come-from-behind victory over Massachusetts senior senator Henry Cabot Lodge. From Paris, Teddy whipped off a congratulatory telegram. "Il est fatigué et triste, ses yeux sont rouges et ce que vous faisez. A Lodge ne devrait pas arriver au mort. Ted. He is tired and sad, his eyes are red. What you were doing to Lodge shouldn't happen to the dead. Ted." Ted's telegrams were collector's items. he once telegraphed his father. Happy Father's Day. Having barrels of fun. Send money for more barrels. Love, Ted. He inherited his love of verbal jousting from the Fitzgeralds, his mother's side of the family. The youngest of nine, Ted was doted on by his grandfather, John Francis Honey Fitz Fitzgerald, the former mayor of Boston and an Irish politician of the old school. As they strolled down the streets of Boston, Ted would watch and learn as Honey Fitz greeted everyone with a vigorous handshake or, in the case of pretty young women, with an effusive hug. "When I was going to school," Ted recalled, "I'd get Sunday lunch off and I'd go on into the Bellevue Hotel and have Sunday lunch with Grandpa. And he would take you all through the kitchen and introduce you to all of the waitresses. On several occasions, I remember Bobby was there, and he would join us. And then in the afternoon, he'd take us for a walk through the Boston Common, and we'd go down to the Old North Church and sit outside in a chair and look up at the steeple and view the architecture. Once in a while, we'd start out the door to go and view these various historic sites, and he'd get wrapped up in conversation with friends, and we'd never get there. I heard my first off-color story from Grandpa. He was laughing so hard,